Our reading today is from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what appeared to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine."
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your word. And we thank you that every Sunday is a Pentecost Sunday. And we do pray that you speak to us through your word now and be with us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Oh, phone call there. I think I might leave that music at the beginning, Trevor, if that's okay. Yeah, I was going to play you a bit of Yes, but I think it would just kind of ruin the atmosphere this morning, you know. At least it's not a bit of Squid, isn't it? But as you know, I really love music. And for years and years and years and years, there's been a group that I've liked above all. And that is, it's Yes, yeah. It was a bit dicey, you know, about us going out when I realised Hazel hadn't heard of Yes. But I think, compared to all the other stuff I listen to, she quite likes Yes now. I was on a train once going back to Portsmouth where we were living. And there was a young guy reading a book about Yes. And I thought, oh, the next generation of Yes fans. And I said, oh, do you like Yes? And he said, not really, but my uncle's the lead singer. And I went, what? John Anderson is your uncle? And he said, yeah. It was really interesting because this guy was a pastor's son. His dad was a minister on the Isle of Wight. He was going back to him, but he'd got a book Uncle John had given him. About the history of Yes. It's really worth reading. It's called Close to the Edge or something. I've got it. If you want to borrow it, you're welcome to read it. And it's interesting. My friend actually Google stalked this minister. I've got a friend who's a minister who's into Yes as much as I am. And this was shameful, bless him, but it was shameful, really. He Google stalked this minister, got friendly with him so that he could meet John Anderson. He did actually meet John Anderson. But you can actually see sometimes some of the things from his brother have rubbed off in some of the lyrics. And I love a song called Perpetual Change. And there's a verse in it that says, "As truth is gathered, I rearrange, inside out, outside in, perpetual change." And apparently John Anderson thought of these lyrics when they were rehearsing in a big country home in Devon. And he went out for a walk and he saw the sun go down and he realized actually everything was changing. You know, the world was changing all the time and their life was changing. It was perpetual change. Now, this is kind of Pentecost Sunday for me because I said I was disappointed that I missed it last week. I didn't quite work it out right. I never was very good at maths. I'd get mixed up between my 40s and 50s. But let's think of this as Pentecost Sunday today because, as I've said, really, every Sunday should be Pentecost Sunday. It's not just for one Sunday a year. That first Pentecost day was when the Holy Spirit came upon the church, and the Holy Spirit hasn't left. He's still with us. You know, the great news is, although this has been so difficult in this time, during this pandemic, the Holy Spirit hasn't left. He's still with us. He's still working in amazing ways. I've had some messages from friends in Burma, and Pastor Stephen's able to regularly get in touch with me now. Haven't heard so much from Amin. And it's just great to see God's still at work. The Holy Spirit's at work, and they've seen more and more people come to the Lord in the political turmoil and oppression that's going on. You know, God doesn't stop working because everything else goes to pot. No, quite the reverse. His Spirit is working all the more. So today I want to think about how we can have a perpetual Pentecost that brings, you know, perpetual change, making us more and more like Jesus all the time. What do we need for this? Well, firstly, we need expectancy. Pentecost was a big day for Jewish people. It was a massive celebration. It was 50 days after the Passover. And it used to be called the Feast of Weeks. That's what it is in the Old Testament, which is a harvest festival in which people bring their first fruits of their crops to present them to the Lord. And as Greek was the major language that was used there, the name was changed to Pentecostos, which means 50th. And this was a big day for the disciples as well. 50 days earlier, they'd been huddled in a room in fear of the Jews, in fear of their lives. And as we know, Jesus came through those locked doors, stood among them, and said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And that was just the beginning. That was just a taster. He promised that the Holy Spirit was going to come in a bigger, more amazing way, even that they'd just experienced. So he said, as he ascended into heaven, I'm going to give you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. And then in Acts 1 verse 8, he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So they'd had this experience of the Holy Spirit, but there was more to come. So 10 days after Jesus' ascension, the disciples and their companions are all together in one place. And that means more than the fact that they were just sat in the same room. It has that sense of unity. There they were, together, expecting, waiting for this promise to be fulfilled. And the Spirit came. And of course, this has huge importance for us. Because in Luke 11, verse 13, Jesus promises that the Heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to all who ask Him. And I hope that we have that sense of expectancy today. There's no reluctance from God to send His Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is given. We're told that He who did not spare His only Son but gave Him up as an offering for us all, will He not also give us all things freely in Him? So throughout this time, as we go forward from this day of prayer for refreshment, let's have a sense of expectancy as we come together. I don't know if anyone remembers a program called Stingray. Yeah, it was one of those Gerry Anderson ones. I used to love watching that. Stingray, Stingray. And at the beginning of it, they used to say, anything can happen in the next half hour. I wish we could say that on a Sunday morning. Anything could happen in the next half hour. Because if we expect God's Spirit, that should be true. Well, to get perpetual Pentecost, we need expectancy. And then, of course, we need experience. Experience has become a bit of a bad word now. People saying, oh, it's all experience orientated. And yes, there is a danger of just wanting experience after experience after experience. But we have to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. We have to know Him in our lives. And the disciples are waiting, praying, anticipating. At last the Spirit comes. And notice the way that He affected all their senses, or many of their senses. They heard, you know, the sense of sound there. Verse 2, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. That speaks of a powerful wind, the most powerful wind you could imagine, one that will kind of break the sound barrier. We were doing some plane spotting at Gatwick Airport once. I was waiting for a plane, and my dad took my nephew down. He said, let's come over. I might have my nephew, my cousin down, who was a lot younger than me. And he said, let's get down early and see some planes. And we saw Concorde. This was in the days when Concorde was still operational. We saw Concorde taking off. And my cousin said, well, that's going to be noisy. And I thought, I can't hear anything. But of course, it breaks the sound barrier, and you hear it about a minute later. And suddenly there was this, and it kind of burst my eardrums. And that's the sense here. It was like a, wow, this amazing sound, this complete shock. And it was really significant, because in the Old Testament, a mighty wind was associated with God's presence. And actually, in the Hebrew and the Greek, the word for wind and spirit are the same. And it filled the house they were sitting in. There was no mistaking, something amazing was happening. They were experiencing the Holy Spirit at work. They saw him at work as well. Verse 3, we read that what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. Now, that's not the kind of fire that would singe your hair. It's a sign of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And it appeared on each of them in the shape of a tongue. You know, it's not this kind of tongue, but, you know, that kind of flame, you know, the kind of flame shape there. And fire is another sign of God's presence that goes back to the Old Testament. See, what God was saying was, I am fulfilling what I have been promised all along. This is in line with my purposes. This is what I've been wanting to do through my Son, to send the Holy Spirit upon you. Abraham saw a burning lamp. Moses was confronted with a burning bush. In the temple, when you made your sacrifice and it was accepted by God, it would be consumed with fire. John the Baptist said that Jesus will baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And then another way they experienced it was that they were filled, in verse 4, filled with the Holy Spirit. And that describes being filled right to the brim so that you can't get any more in it. Now, I was in the center of the universe last week. Where is that? Actually, I was in Folkestone last week, just a few days, but Southend-on-Sea. And when you go to Southend-on-Sea, you have to have a Ross's ice cream. And they were quite generous in serving the ice creams, the portions. And I just had a normal size one, because Asa wouldn't let me have a bigger one. But he did give me a really generous, and it was like he put $1 on, then another dollop on, and it was like so crammed on there, it was almost like falling off the top. The cone was absolutely filled with ice cream. And that's the sense of this word here, you know, filled to overflowing. God is generous. He doesn't give in half portions. We need to come expecting his generosity. Maybe you've grown up and you've had a parent who's been really mean and has held things back. And sometimes, you know, we can project that on God. You know, I mean, my dad's not listening. He's a good guy, my dad, but he was a bit tight. And, you know, he was so tight, sometimes he used to take a £5 note out and you'd see the Queen blinking, you know, in the sunlight. You know? But God's not tight. God's not mean. God is generous. He fills us with the Holy Spirit. And then they spoke. Verse 4, they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, the tongues is a wonderful gift. And you might think of this as the gift of tongues, as many of us experience, as I experience. But actually, these aren't the same tongues as in 1 Corinthians. That's a distinct gift. And we're told in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. That's why there is the gift of interpretation when someone brings a message in tongues. But this was a bit different here, because it was tongues that people recognized. They heard it in their own language. See, they were still all Jews coming together, but they're Jews who'd been dispersed among the nations. And Hebrew wasn't their first language. They all had their own languages, and they came and The disciples were given the ability to speak in that language. Now, later on, we read of the gift of tongues, and you know, that, and Paul says, pursue the gift of tongues. I encourage you to pursue the gift of tongues. It's a great release. But that's not exactly what's happening here. But you see, they experienced the Holy Spirit. And we need to seek experiences of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's getting that balance. We are a word and spirit church. And I've probably said this time and time again. David Watson used to say, if we're all spirit, we blow up. If we're all word, we dry up. But if we're word and spirit, we grow up. And actually, probably, you know, we're not actually in danger of blowing up. I think we're probably more in danger of drying up. Probably I am. And we need that experience of the Holy Spirit. I had actually planned, that's one thing I've learned in this time about, you know, you make all your plans and then life happens, doesn't it? Pandemics happen. But I had actually planned, every year I can set out what I'm going to preach on, and I was going to go through James, and I was going to break that up with a series about the work of the Holy Spirit. Well, it hasn't happened yet. But it's there. I've even kind of started planning out the different talks I was going to do, and I talked to one or two people like Christina Baxter about a good way to approach it. But that's something we need to do. That's something we need to do as we regather, as we seek to be replenished, because being replenished is experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit. Expectancy, experience, but also we need understanding as well. You know, God doesn't just do things and not show us what they're about. He reveals his purposes. He reveals why he's doing it. And Peter explains here to people who are saying, what is going on? He explains that it was promised. God had said in the last days, and that means that new era had begun, the last phase in his plan, which we're part of, that God was going to pour out his spirit on all people. And in the book of Acts, that was fulfilled when Jews and Gentiles came together in Christ. And he said, even my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit. In those days, we will prophesy. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And we see that happening in the book of Acts. We see prophesying, people speaking forward God's word. And there's teaching on that in 1 Corinthians 14. We see people having visions and dreams. Remember Peter? He had that dream of the pigs, and God said, go, these are clean. And God was speaking to him about welcoming Gentiles into the church. And it's all kinds of people caught up in this. Sons and daughters, old and young, men and women, not just priests, not just apostles. Not some holy set of people. No, God was going to pour out his spirit on all people, and we would all be priests. We would all have access to God. So there's understanding, but also there's evangelism. Expectancy, experience, understanding, and if we want a perpetual Pentecost, it flows out to evangelism. Yeah, that's what I really love about this chapter, one of the many things I love. They didn't just experience the power of the Holy Spirit. He overflowed and enabled them to lead others to Jesus. And when people were saying, what's this all about? Peter explained the significance of this amazing event. He says, it's all about Jesus. And beginning where Jesus was in Nazareth, he traces Jesus' steps through his public ministry to the cross, to the grave, to glory, to his return. And he challenges them and says, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And that word Lord means he is exalted. It's actually similar to the Lord and Christ, the similar words. He's drawing on the Old Testament word Lord there. He is God. He is Christ. He is King. He is in that highest place. And that's a key work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes us glorify Jesus, makes us put him in the center. The Holy Spirit always draws our eyes to him. It's always about Jesus. Now, you might be asking the question that these people ask, what should I do? And some of these people didn't know the reality in their life. Maybe you don't know the reality of Jesus as your Saviour in your life. Well, Peter again told them exactly what they needed to do. Repent and be baptised, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent means change direction. You know, when you've got your sat-nav on sometimes, mine frequently does this, and you're going down a road and it says, turn around when possible. Turn around when possible. And you have to do it because otherwise it just keeps nagging. Turn around. That was it. Turn from sin, turn to God. Trust in what Jesus has done and be baptized. Interesting, you know, people were baptized straight away. They didn't have like months and months of baptismal classes. That's always been a challenge to me, actually. They just did it. You know, they believed Jesus, they got baptized. It was just part of becoming a Christian. Sometimes, you know, people say to me, oh, I don't know if it's the Lord's will for me to be baptized. It's like saying, I don't know if it's the Lord's will for me to be a Christian. Well, of course it is. You know, it's a command. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, he says. He's not saying that we don't receive the Holy Spirit until we're baptized, but he's saying, actually, you know, this is the path the Holy Spirit's taking you on. You know, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you know the wonder of the Holy Spirit as you go through the waters of baptism, as you live out in the reality of that, as you live that life of repentance, of turning from sin and going God's ways. You can only do that with the Holy Spirit within you. And you know, the great thing is that being filled with the Holy Spirit isn't a one-off experience. I know there is often that powerful experience in our life. And I do believe an old-fashioned way of calling it is a second blessing. I can see it here. Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit on the disciples. And yet here they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And in my Christian life, you know, I came to Jesus. The Holy Spirit was within me. I was forgiven. But I remember the day when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I knew the fullness of his power. But, you know, I've known that filling of the Holy Spirit again and again and again. And I need it now. Because we're told in Ephesians, be filled with the Spirit. And literally that is being filled with the Holy Spirit. See, it's really great to celebrate Pentecost. It's really great to spread it over 2 weeks. But as I said, it's not just for one day. You know, the Holy Spirit doesn't just appear at Pentecost and we think about his work and celebrate it and that's it. You know, every Sunday must be a Pentecost Sunday. Every Sunday we need to come together with that sense of expectancy for him to work. We may feel bound. I mean, it is difficult. It's been so difficult, you know, with the mask and not being able to sing. But the Spirit isn't bound. The Holy Spirit is still at work. And you know, in many ways, all of this is a bit of an adventure because it means we can experience him in new and different ways because all the props have been kicked away. So look to him, be filled with his Spirit, glorify Jesus, tell others about him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you that you give your Holy Spirit generously, mightily. And pray, Father, that we would receive your Holy Spirit this morning. And we would continue to know the power and filling of the Holy Spirit in these days. Amen.